some Yankee turf. What we looked at, being from so similar to the last talk, we're starting to look at recycled water and its effect on turf grass, and it's something that's been studied pretty extensively in the Southwest, especially. A lot of golf courses and areas are starting to really start to irrigate using this technology or this recycled water, and so we see a lot of data coming from that area. But in the Northeast, we're a region that basically receives adequate precipitation, generally have adequate water resources, so it's something that we really aren't tapping into yet. But we wanted to take a chance to see what would happen if we use recycled water basically in our region. Now when we talk about salinity, as discussed on the last talk, we're looking at in recycled water, a measure of total soluble salts in irrigation water. And that can be represented in two ways. First will be electrical conductivity, which would be measured in decisiemens per meter, is the most common way, or millimoles per centimeter, which is a 1-to-1 ratio, or total dissolved salts, which is on a mass basis, or parts per million. And the conversion between the two, total dissolved salts, is basically your EC times 640, if you want to convert between the two numbers. Now, there is potential for problems with your turf when you're using recycled irrigation. First of all, we have the potential for water deficits or physiological drought when the osmotic potential becomes or changes, and it's harder for the plant to basically take up that water because of the salt concentration. This is one of the biggest problems when we use any saline irrigation water. We start to see the detrimental effects to our turf grass. Secondly, we can see ion toxicities like sodium chloride, bicarbonates, hydroxide, when the plant can not distinguish between nutrients it wants to uptake and begins to take those up into the leaf tissue, root tissue, and we start to see issues affecting the plant. And then also ion imbalances, when we start to see nutrients taken up instead of our desirable nutrients, such as sodium taken up instead of potassium, etc. So we start to see some deficiencies in the plants as well in that regard. Now, most recycled water, I can say, will fall in the range of medium to high on the salt classification table, ranging from 0.75 decisiemens per meter to about 3 decisiemens per meter. It usually isn't bad quality turf, bad quality irrigation water, what we're receiving now. But we do start to see some management requirements involved when we start using this irrigation water, such as leaching out salts from the root zone, switching turf species because the species we have can't tolerate those salts. Another thing that also is of concern is sodium content of our irrigation water. If we tend to have a high sodium content in relationship to our calcium and magnesium, we run the potential for soil degradation. Our soils become sodic, and the structure collapses on itself. We lose infiltration of our soils, and we start to get poor rooting. And generally, we start to see a problem when the star ratio gets above 15. There's another way we can measure that ratio as well. It's exchangeable sodium percentage, which is a ratio of sodium to the cation exchange capacity of the soil, and based on the U.S. Salinity Lab classifications, that number, we start to see problems when it gets above 12. There are other parameters that can affect that, but for this talk, that's adequate. So the objective of the study was first to determine the impact of recycled water on two widely used turf grass species, these are cool season grasses, on a wide range of soils to just see the different effects that we might have. And what happens if we see a long-term drought in an area like the Northeast? Down in the Southeast, we saw a long-term drought this year. So what happens if we have that situation occur and we don't have any regular summer precipitation? So for our study, we used three different soil types. We used a silicate sand that met USGA specifications. We used a sandy loam soil and a silt loam soil, all native to our site. Apologize. The sandy loam and silt loam were native to the site, and the sand was brought in. We also used two different turf types. We looked at Poa pratensis, or Kentucky bluegrass, And it was a 25% mixture of the following varieties. And then we looked at Agrostis solanifera and then variety Pencross of the Cuban bedgrass. And those were sodded in 2004. We had three irrigation treatments that we placed on these plants. The first was a control treatment, which was our surface irrigation water. Just to note, the surface irrigation water had an EC of approximately 0.003 decisiemens per meter, so basically no salts. So a very good control. We then had a 1X treatment, and this 1X treatment we made to simulate the wastewater that came from our local treatment plant. Because we don't have the infrastructure to our research center, we had to actually simulate this. And then we applied a 2X treatment, was double that concentration. All our irrigation practices were based off of 100% ET, so there was no leaching fraction. We're trying to look at kind of a worst case scenario, what would happen. And the sands, we irrigated the same amount of water, but we did a shallower watering, so we did water twice as frequent. Here's the basic breakdown of our simulated wastewater, pH of 7, and our EC was approximately 0.82 decisiemens per meter, so for our 2X treatment, it would be approximately 1.64 decisiemens per meter. So well within that appropriate range, we're going to hopefully see some damage, but nothing like 10 decisiemens per meter. So, and our SAR ratio, our sodium absorption ratio for this was 0.55, so very low. Sodium was not a concern. We weren't too worried about that in this study. And all the rainfall was excluded basically by our rainout shelter. This is at the Cornell Turfgrass Research Center in Ithaca, New York. So anytime we had a rain event, that covered up the plots. So they were receiving no natural precipitation. So the study was conducted over 3 different years. In 2005, we simulated a 3-month drought. In 2007, which we have just finished, a 4-month drought. And in 2006 was the 5-month drought. We rated the turf on visual quality on a 1-9 scale, with 6 being acceptable, 9 being great. We measured soil electrical conductivity at the end of each trial using a saturated paste technique. And infiltration rates were measured at the end of each study as well, using a miniature rain simulator. In 2007, after our 2006 trial, some of the plots the quality ratings had gotten so poor that we actually had to resod some of the plots to bring them back up to an acceptable quality. And just a little breakdown, over the years, the total irrigation water that we applied in those drought years in millimeters per year, you can see that in 2006, they received a larger amount of irrigation water. And all plots were fertilized at approximately 2 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. And the creeping bedgrass was maintained at 1.9 centimeters, and the Kentucky bluegrass was maintained at 2.5 centimeters. So getting into the results, what we start to see. This is our visual quality, and looking at Agrostis solanifera first, we start to see in 2005, we actually only applied the control and the 1X treatment. And we start to see some effects, but they're inconsistent. We see a slight decrease here and an increase here in quality. So nothing's really substantial. But once we get into 2006, which was a 5-month drought, we really start to see a decrease in turf quality, getting down into the 6 range. And on the sand turf type, which we have here, we get down to approximately 6.1. So we're starting to get down into a pretty poor quality turf. And in 2007, this was a month shorter event, we see similar trends where quality begins to decrease, but not to the same effect that we have or had in 2006. Now if we look at our quality of our turf, this is getting near the end of our 2006 data. We have a relationship here between soil EC and decisiemens per meter and our turf quality. And as our soil EC increases, we begin to see a decrease in turf quality. Data land very well, We have our control data here, our 1X treatment here, and our 2X treatment here. So you can basically see that there's a strong linear relationship between EC and hair quality. And right about 6 decisiemens per meter is where we start to see our data fall below the acceptable level. Looking at the Kentucky bluegrass data, once again separated by soil types here, we see very similar trends. The Kentucky bluegrass, though, is affected a little bit more negatively than the creeping bentgrass, getting down to actually 6 on quality ratings on sand. But we see that same trend where we continue to have a steady decrease in quality. And then in 2007, we still remain at acceptable quality, but we do start to see some detrimental effects. And once again, if we plot a regression line, soil EC, this is the exact same graph, just looking at Kentucky bluegrass. We see the 1X treatment, 2X treatment, and control data. And at 4 decisiemens per meter is where we start to see our quality drop to below an adequate level. Here's a visual of what the plots look like. Plot on the left is Kentucky bluegrass, plot on the right is creeping bentgrass. The 1X treatment in the front, the control treatment in the back. So you start to see some basic wilt problems and poor turf quality on the 1X salt treatment. As we get to the 2X salt treatment, you start to see some pretty detrimental effects from the high salt levels, basically. So in summary, under a 3-month drought, we really started to see inconsistent quality ratings among the different soil types. There were differences, but nothing real substantial using this irrigation water. Under a 4-month drought, we saw definite lower qualities in the 1X and 2X treatments, but we didn't see a difference in the soil EC levels. And I have a little footnote there. We did have a failure in our rainout shelter at one point where we received almost 3 inches of rain, which was right near the end. So we feel like that may have flushed out some of the salts from the root zones. And then in 2006, the 1X treatment resulted in lower but acceptable quality and higher soil EC levels compared to control. The 2X treatment was much lower quality and much higher soil EC levels, getting up in the range of 6 decisiemens per meter and higher. Our Poa pratensis, our Kentucky bluegrass, reached unacceptable quality at an EC of 4 decisiemens per meter, and the Agrostis at 6 decisiemens per meter. And an interesting phenomenon, we started to see higher soil EC values compared to Kentucky bluegrass on the sandy loam soil under both the 1X and 2X treatments, something we can't really explain why more salts were accumulating underneath the bentgrass compared to the bluegrass. And turf qualities on sand were more negatively affected by the recycled irrigation, as literature states. And both of these EC levels fall basically within the respective range of what we expect from literature, with Kentucky bluegrass being in the sensitive range and creeping bentgrass being in the more tolerant range. So, in conclusion, we feel typical recycled irrigation water could be used solely in the Northeast for a short period of time without damage, without any leaching requirements. But if we were using a higher concentration of salts in our irrigation water, we would need to employ leaching fractions in order to maintain quality of our turf. And I'd like to ask for any questions at this time if you have them.